know my name. Diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slang. Smoky in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode 292 of 4th and John. I'm Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn. And we have a man by the name of Tank in the building, Hollis Thomas. Welcome to the show. You know, it's not every day we get a general up in here.
Hey, what's up, man? Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hanging in there, man. Obviously, we're going to be talking about some training camp news and notes with Hollis Thomas. Obviously, Hollis has been at camp. He's been lingering on the sidelines, picking up some news and nuggets. I actually got an opportunity to go down to training camp yesterday. I had to give Howie his props for what he did in the offseason. But people will remind you on the timeline that, don't give him his props. I had to give him his props. But obviously, the season has to be played. We're into training camp. Five training camps have happened. Practices have happened. Pads have been on today. How have you guys been feeling about some of the news that's been coming out?
Go ahead, Evan.
Yeah. So a lot of the news that's been coming out, it made me feel a lot better today. We've been hearing that the offense has been struggling the first handful of practices that we've had, but Jalen Hurts has turned it around today. That's what we hear. Jalen Reagor also had himself a little bit of a day. I see the eyes right now. The belief isn't fully there. It's all about consistency. So I'm just trying to see Jalen Reagor, both the Jalens, be more consistent. Guys, we're 2 days away from the first preseason game of the NFL. Football is back. I'm just excited to be back in this time of year and excited to have Hollis with us. How you doing, Hollis?
I kind of detected, Evan, that you're a non-believer in Jalen Hurts.
I'm not a non-believer. I'm a believer. I need it to be proven to me with my eyes. You know what I mean? He hasn't proven it yet.
No, he didn't prove nothing to you last year about winning?
No.
It's a yes or no question. I don't need a dissertation.
Put him in a headlock.
Yes, I believe in Jalen Hurts. To answer your question, I believe in Jalen Hurts.
Because I don't know if you guys can see my shirt. If nobody believes in Santa, the sleigh does not move.
I like it.
The sleigh will not move. So we all have to be all the way in with Jalen Hurts. We don't need no half-ass people believing in him. I was talking to Gail earlier about practice. Practice to me, I feel like it's a good thing to get timing down, and you don't want to practice in a crappy way. But to me, practice is nothing until you take it to the field. I feel like he's going to make good tremendous strides, but I'm not. It's just like you. I'm still on a wait and see mode. I'm not talking about go ahead and pay him. But give the kid an opportunity to see what he can work with. He's got no reason right now. He can have no excuse whatsoever on why he should not succeed. But I did like the crispness of the practice compared to last year. Last year it was a lot of filling themselves around and filling around stuff. It was quick and decisive and crisp this year, which lets me know that they're kind of like they know what they're doing now. So it's less read, it's more react. So. I that's what I took from it.
Now, as a player that played in the league years ago, it was a lot more physical back then, especially during the training camp. I mean, one of the biggest gripes that people have had is that the Eagles have been having short practices. They've been practicing without pads. I mean, what is your thought as a former player of how this is getting people prepared for the season?
Well, I've been one of those components of they need to practice to play football. You got to practice it. The funniest thing though is like, I was there the first day I was there, Mike Quick and Merle Reese was like, "Don't blink, it'll be over before you know it." So I was like, "I'm like what?" But it's like you I think it's taking care of the guy's bodies a little bit more. But you see the sloppy play early on, and that's pretty much what you're gonna get, especially up on the guys up front. Because we did some camps this year. One of my first times doing the technical parts of being a defensive offensive lineman. And it takes a lot. You can't just walk back up on the field and get your step right and hit that first step and get that hand placement right and deliver a punch that's gonna get you in the backfield. So I think with that being said, I did see some stuff going on with the pads on that, man, my boy Jordan Davis.
That's what we keep hearing.
He's going to lay. Hopefully my kid weighs. I mean, he's the nicest kid in the world. I had an opportunity to talk to him about what went down in college with their first game against Alabama, and they exploited him, and they kept him on the field. And apparently he went back and did cardio and worked out more and worked out harder so that he was the most dominant force on the field. And I love that he didn't, nobody had to tell him that though. It's like, well, what I feel like that, and you can give Howie props on this. I feel like we put a bunch of winners together, guys who've been winning and want to win and want to continue to win on this level. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to this season, dude. This is the first time in ever we haven't had jack to say about nothing he's done. And we'll get to the other part that I told somebody about a month ago. We'll get to that part a little bit later on. That's the other part that lets me know that they're in it to win it. So if like everybody doesn't believe in Jalen Hurts, if he can't get the job done, we got to move on. It's like it's gonna be a window there. Well, everything is going to be in place and it's going to be right. And all we need is somebody to lead us.
Yeah.
Talk
about Jalen Hurts, man. He's a guy, you know, it's been a polarizing subject on the timeline. And obviously people have their certain takes and it is what it is. In training camp, people have tried to make narratives off of little amounts of practice. I mean, you have talked about that recently, just saying like, you know, I obviously got a chance to go yesterday and I was really, you know, I was just like, man, I'm like the narratives that they're creating off of what they've seen, you know, obviously he had today his best day in practice with the pads on. So do you think these narratives that are obviously media is media, they're going to create narratives. Right. And obviously, I'd never like to think of us as media, where we are sort of media, but what do you think about these narratives that have been created from training camp these days?
If you want some straight talk with the boss, the narratives that they are creating are nothing. I feel like they're nothing until you get between those stripes and he puts together some stuff or he starts throwing picks. I want him to feed everybody the crap sandwich that I know that I feel like he's going to feed them. As a player, you use that to fuel your fire. Especially everybody keeps talking about his arm was weak. He was this. He's that. I was like, how do you know? They bring up, oh, he missed this pass, that pass. But what about the other four that the receivers dropped that was right in their hands? I was like, don't just nitpick and try to. And then when you bring up, well, who do you want to go get? And they start talking about somebody who hasn't played in the NFL yet, who's unproven. And so you have to go back. You have to pretty much start all of this over again and throw away the progression that you've got this kid too. We got this kid at a premium low price. He's a good quarterback. He's learning. He's getting better each time. If things go right, he will be the man. If not, we still got two years on this contract where we can build our team. And then, and only then, we'll be able for the master if he's not the master.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And on top of that, on top of the 2 years that we'll have to build our team and bridge us to the next guy, we also have a contingency plan and two first round picks next year.
Exactly.
So it all works out. We're gravy right now as far as I'm concerned.
Now, Hollis, you have a troll. You have your number one troll in the comments. Prime over here talking trash already.
Prime was I'm gonna see you, Prime. I'm gonna see you, Prime. He was over there. He was on the cheating roster of what's the boy's name? Jason Avant.
Yeah,
he's walking around with the rules in his hand and wouldn't let anybody see them. It's like, show me where it says that you don't get these. It's like, really? Like, those are plays.
So I want to go back to something that you brought up, which was Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis has been the talk, a lot of the talk of the training camp. Can you just tell us a little bit more about him and what you've seen? Because, I mean, everything we've heard so far is just how dominant he is immediately as an impact on this team.
Well, the first thing I recognize is him being able to get upfield and his speed, dude. Being that size and being that fast and being, oh, man. And the one thing that I want to see if he gets done is his hand usage. That's the one. When you coming from college to pro, no matter what level you played at, your hand uses as a defensive lineman, you got to be violent with them, and you got to be more violent than you've ever been with them before, because you had to get off a block. Because the offensive lineman will hang on you like Velcro, and they're gonna be like, they holding. Did they call it? Well, then they're not holding. So when I say that, because I've been seeing him get off blocks, but I want to see him with more, like, because he got, man, if he starts using his hands like I want him to, dude, everybody else has a problem on their hands. They're gonna have a problem already, but I want, if he's able to use his hands like I think he can, man, that's the only thing I want to see. It, but you can't get that in practice because you play against your own guys. All I can see is what he's showing me, and he's showing me he's being dominant right now.
Now, that's one thing yesterday at training camp. I was coming from the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. I was like, look, I gotta see these. I got to see these defensive linemen. Obviously, I was like, I got to see Jordan Davis. So I made my way all the way over to the left side of the field. As soon as I got there, the oohs and the ahs started. Mm-hmm. It was a rep from Jordan Davis. And it was not just his strength and physicality, which we know he has, but it was that, you know, he showed that twitch and left. I think it was Anderson Everyone
was shook. He created a victim of circumstance. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, when you were saying that, all I could think about was he was talking. You guys were talking earlier about the practices not being so padded and stuff.
Yep.
It's like everybody's used to coming up to Lehigh and seeing us get it in for 2.5 hours of just a knockdown and drag out. So I already know what you probably saw. You probably saw him take somebody's lunch.
Oh, he had the whole crowd in awe. I mean, just seeing a guy move like that, I think that's the thing you love. I know Trace Rocker was talking about these one-on-one situations. Mm-hmm. He's going to thrive, and I think sometimes it takes two people to block him, and three, said his coach. Yes. So now tell us about the importance of, you know, a guy who's willing to take on those double teams like it's his job. What do you think that means? You know, I got an opportunity to talk to Brandon Graham at the Trent Cole camp with you. Right. But Brandon Graham said he felt like Jordan Davis, having Jordan Davis in the house is going to let Fletcher Cox be Fletcher Cox. What do you think about that?
It's going to let a lot of guys loose. If you don't put to, it's going to be criminal. If Jordan Davis shows them what he's been showing us, it's going to be criminal for them not to double team him every time. You can't triple team him because somebody's going to come free. But they're going to be sliding and doing different schemes toward his way, and everybody else is going to get to eat. And that's the beauty of it. And then when they do single team him, he's going to show you why you should double team him.
Exactly.
And that's all I want to see is him take advantage of it.
And you touched on something earlier where you talked about how the front office is kind of starting to pick winners, pick guys from like Georgia, from Alabama. And you saw what Jordan Davis was able to do as like getting triple teamed against other SEC teams. So this translation to the NFL, it's definitely going to be a step up as far as how hard it's going to be for him. But I think it's not going to be too bad of a transition.
Well, no, it's not good. I love that part, but the part that's going to be a transition is the only difference between college and a professional is fast, dude. And it happens like that, because you go from just the upper echelon of college to just like everybody knows exactly what to do. You know why everybody knows exactly what to do? Because you're getting paid now. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you'll be standing next to the coach. And then once you stand next to the coach on Tuesday, you'll be looking for another job. Yeah. So everybody knows exactly what to do. They're doing it fast. The other side of the ball is paid too. They didn't just show up on the bus and they scared of you. No, they're not. They're there to feed their family.
Talk about that being fed. That beard's being fed. You're getting some respect for the beard in the chat.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you.
Hollis, I want to kind of tie two positions together here. That being the defensive line and the wide receivers. It's been a while. I think Michael Bennett was our last 10 sack defensive lineman. And it's also been a while since we've had a 1,000-yard wide receiver. What do you think is more likely this year? I mean, we got new weapons on offense. But are we more likely to have a 10-sack defensive lineman or a 1,000-yard wide receiver?
Probably going to have both.
I'm all in on that.
But just look at it. We're getting Sweat back. We're getting BG back. Yeah, we getting the young guy. We getting all those young guys that we already had back. Hassan Reddick. If Jonathan Gannon does what he's supposed to, there will be at least two guys with either 10 sacks or more. Mm. If he does what he's supposed to, don't come out there with the vanilla crap. We need some sprinkles now. Winners get sprinkles.
See, I think, we spoke about Gannon in the past, off air, and just thinking about the pieces that he's actually has in place now. Like, just think about that defense last year. You talk about adding a guy like Jordan Davis to the mix.
Right.
BG being out for most of the season, and then you implement Hassan Reddick in the offseason. You don't even talk about Milton Williams. We already know what Cox is. Or Hargrave.
Or can't get right. I called Barnett can't get right. Dude, every time you see a flag after the play on defense, you be like, man, what'd you do?
Hey, man, I mean, if you remember last year, Nick Sirianni was caught on camera saying it's always him.
It's always him. Yeah, exactly. It's always him. But we brought him back. I think we put quality competition at every position. It's like if you falter, there'll be somebody there to take your spot. I think that the receiving core, you saw AJ Brown.
Oh,
there's a man, Buddha.
Gales was sending me pictures yesterday. He's built like a linebacker, man.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
Yeah,
I was there Monday. I came over there and I saw the receivers doing drills. I was like, who's that? Who's that tight end? It's like, oh, that's how big he was. He's much bigger than all the rest of the receivers. He's a man amongst boys. So, and then his speed, dude, man. So that's why I think we might be in for one of each.
Right, like that. The one thing that stood out to me at practice yesterday, walking around every single person that as soon as they laid eyes on AJ Brown, they're like, God damn, he's so big. Or like, dude, this dude is huge. And it was just the same comment left and right. And I put a post out there yesterday on Twitter. I was like, this dude could probably play any position this man wanted to. Mm-hmm. The fact that you talk about his yak ability, that's the thing. That I went back and watched a lot of his yak from last season. And it's just like, in terms of adding a weapon to the puzzle, who can get that yak, you know, like giving Jalen a piece that can really work.
But also, he's like, you look at the things he could do with handing him the ball sometime, or the little quick pitches that he did a couple of times down there at in Tennessee. He's got that. He reminds me of Deebo Samuels.
Wow,
that's who he reminds me of. If you look at it when the dust settles, when they didn't have him in the lineup last year. It was like, man, he reminded me of Deebo Samuels with the way that they were using him.
And how much do you think the chemistry that's already been built up between AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts is going to play a factor? You think that they're going to be like have a similar? I don't want to go all out and say a Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase type of connection off the bat, but like, do you think that they'll be a nice tandem just right out the gate?
I think out the gate, you got to look at all, but you also got to look at Devontae too. Devontae and Jalen, they had a bit of rapport like towards the end. I think the fact that all three of them, I feel like they're gonna have a nice rapport, especially since he was down there throwing to him already. Really? Just happened to be throwing to him.
I have a question for you. I mean, I obviously we're talking about Jalen Reagor, and he's a guy who's had a rough season in terms of off the field. But it's at the end of the day, Eagle fans and the city of Philadelphia loves the word results. And now, like this, being a Philadelphia athlete, what is it like? I mean, like, you know what the demeanor you need to see and the mental that you need to see. I mean, what are your thoughts on Jalen Reagor? And do you think he's going to be able to overcome his past issues?
I don't know if it'll be here though, because he's been so helter skelter. He's been like Sybil. he starts talking crap on Twitter and stuff, which was a mistake in the first place. And then you take your account down. But then you come back and you start talking crap again. And then you apologize and stuff. Like, what the hell are you doing? Sit down and try to play football. It's like, I think if he does do something, he's got to beat out somebody. But I don't think he's going to be able to give it what he's done so far, which is nothing.
I
will use him as trade bait.
He had a good practice today.
I've been hearing.
Hey, what did I tell you about practice?
We're talking about practice, man.
You're a first round pick, and we talking about your practice.
Is he still lining up in practices as the number one punt returner?
He's been getting them reps, but I was closely watching Britton Covey.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I will say is I think they're kind of tired of his crap. They didn't draft him. This new coach regime didn't draft him in the first round. And you see, they brought the kid that they had out of Indianapolis, the big guy, Pascal.
Zach Pascal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Pascal, him, and then Watkins. That's the one battle I want to see. Who's going to be that third receiver?
Yeah.
Now people have asked in the chat, you know, Quez Watkins, he did, you know, Jeff McClain had tweeted out and everybody like lost their lunch for a second that he was hurt. He came out with street clothes, but they said it was an illness. So that means he probably
he
had to use a crapper. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's probably got some type of stomach virus. Yeah. He had to take a dump. He had to drop the Browns off at the Super Bowl.
That's the funny thing about I mean Philadelphia. They overhype everything. So even one simple tweet, everybody's like living on a prayer halfway there. I don't know. Other people that were out today, Greg Ward had a toe injury. Calcaterra. Evan's been concerned dad over Calcaterra, the concussion.
Hey, man.
Now dealing with a hamstring. He's dealing with a hamstring. But he's had a decent camp so far. Let's see. Cam Jurgens. Another guy who's held his own at camp today. Do you think Cam Jurgens? What do you think is his progression so far?
It's still early. We're talking about practice.
Going back to practice.
I need to see him. I truly do need to see him in the game. I mean, that's jerky, right?
Jerky, beef jerky.
Yeah, Cam beef jerky. Yeah, I like him, and I like what he did in college. But he's got to come on in the pros. So I like the fact that he'll be learning under Kelsey. And he's going to get a good run because he's probably going to be the second center, and he's going to be going against Jordan. So he will be ready.
How has speaking of that offensive line, it seems like Isaac Seumalo has firmly cemented himself as the right guard. How has he looked during? Well, that's at least what I'm seeing. What's being tweeted out? Do you have something else to say? Isaac struggled,
Landon Dickerson.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've never been like that fond of him. I always thought he was getting his ass kicked. I'm sorry, that's what I see. I had an argument with a guy who said it was like he did great. They told me he did great. I was like, did you watch the film? No, I was like, so it's safe to say you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Why am I having a conversation with you? The stuff when I was telling him, I watched him get drove back into Carson's lap time upon time. I watched him get drove back. I don't know if he was hurt or something, but you don't get drove back like that and talking about you had a good game.
Yeah.
You got drove like a bus.
So you trying to dangle him for, you see the Bucks dealing with some injuries. You trying to dangle? Dingle dangle?
Well, he's coming off injury, is he not?
He is.
He had a little something today in practice.
There you go.
He threw the helmet today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of,
he probably broke his fingernail.
Speaking of someone that's coming off of injury, Brandon Graham. I heard that it's as if he never injured the Achilles. Is that report accurate? How's he looking?
Well, he's looking good. I feel like he's taking his role nicely. He's probably going to be in there. But he's going to have a nice rotation,
and
I think that's what he needs at this point in his career. Because it's like they have a when you look at teams that win and dominate up front, it's like It's like they have a great rotation. It's kind of like, remember when we brought Chris Long in? We had a great rotation. He came in and he had about 20, 25 plays, you know, and flourished. That's what we need Brandon to do. We need him to be that steady person that comes in and knocks the crap out of people when we need him to. So, because you got to get these young guys an opportunity to play. They got to get their feet wet. They got to start taking over because they're the next regime. As an older guy, you come in and you be part of it. And when you get your opportunity, you go in there and bust some skulls. Let's show the young guys how it's done. And then if you get more time to play, be like, hey, y'all need to come on because I ain't supposed to be playing as much.
Yeah, exactly. I need a break.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying it's gonna be interesting to see how he totally recovers, because you really won't be able to see that until he's against opposing team competition.
Absolutely. So, and another big
body. The part about practice too, about both of y'all talking about practice. When your adversary is not trying to kill you, that's what practice is. You can practice all you want to. As I had to tell you one time, I practiced on a sprained ankle. I felt great. Got into the game and got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
You don't want to know why?
It's not the same intensity.
Exactly. The guy in the game had way more intensity than the practice where I played.
Right. They sweep your leg?
No, they just laced my cookie. I was like, trainer!
Now, people in the chat, if you got a question for Tank, just let us know. We'll bring it on up.
Oh, God. How's Dillard look? You talking about Big Pudding?
Big Pudding.
He's soft on the other side of the pillow.
Oh, no.
He's in
better shape. That's it. So now they're going to kick his muscle-bound ass.
Wow,
that's a new one.
You're born with it. You have the killer instinct, dude. He was talking about something. I knew I'm in a fight for my position. Really? Did you see the interview?
Yeah.
I know you saw it. You saw his interview. That right there alone should let you know you're the first round pick. You let the seventh round pick come in and take your spot.
You literally took my next question out of my mouth. So, like, as an undrafted free agent like yourself who succeeded in the league against all odds, what is the mentality of an Andre Dillard right now, where he was supposed to be drafted in the first round? He was supposed to come in and be the guy at left tackle, and he's beat out by a guy who might as well be undrafted. He was in the seventh round.
And had just started playing football.
Exactly.
You came in and got ousted. As a first round pick, they give you so many opportunities to mess up. You took all of them and you threw them by the wayside.
Man.
He got ran over by number 95 in practice. Number 95 was an undrafted free agent out of Central Michigan, either Central or Eastern Michigan. He's an outside linebacker at best.
Wow.
He whooped his ass.
Is that this
when
week?
I say, well, huh?
Today?
No, when I start calling him Big Pudding, that's why I started calling him Big Pudding.
Gotcha.
Because that dude didn't weigh no more than 250.
Now, the funny thing is, like, when he started at Washington State, he was around like 240, 250. And when he got drafted, I was like, you know, it's going to take time for him to get that NFL body in that strength. And you're talking about that strength, I think he's finally got some of NFL body, but it's a couple years too late. But
you can't be tender with strength. You just got tender strength.
So chicken tender and Big Pudding. That's the nickname we got.
Yeah, tender. He's tender. He's not a woman, so he's not delicious.
You know, shout out to AJ in the chat. She says this is the realness we need.
Hey, what's up, AJ? That's my girl.
Yeah.
She's cool. So, my girl. She's probably over there at practice.
So, I mean, we've heard a lot about guys that aren't performing as well as the reporters are saying they are. Is there anybody that isn't being talked about enough in these practices? Someone that is really showing out and, you know, it's not really making its way onto Twitter or being talked about by the other reporters?
Well, I don't really look for the showing out in practice. I want you to show out in the preseason game. I want to see some of the young guys in the upcoming preseason game. It's a couple of battles in that linebacking core. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the battles in the linebacking core. Our linebacking core for the last few years has snuck up the joint, literally and figuratively. We've been a joke at linebacker. Like, yes, we had Alex Singleton, who could make a tackle downfield. He led the team in tackles, 7 or 8 yards down the field. We couldn't stop a running nose, especially when they double teamed the guys up front. But the thing that they did was they went out and they drafted a kid in N'Kobe Dean, who's handling the business. I did hear that he's handling business. I saw him at some drills and stuff, and he just looks like he knows what to do. But you also got to look at T.J. Edwards, who came on last year towards the end of the season. Him and the kid, Taylor?
Davion Taylor.
Davion mm-hmm. Taylor, and there's one more, Avery. Is it Jeffrey Avery?
Jannard Avery, yeah.
Those guys, towards the end of the season, they started hitting the line harder and faster because I think they knew what they were doing. And then you had the guy White out of from San Diego.
Because they're white.
They said they were apparently San Diego was L.A. was pissed that they lost him. And who else we got? Who else? Who am I missing?
We're full. N'Kobe Dean. Talk about
T.J. Edwards.
Yep.
T.J. Edwards. I brought him up. But that's gonna be
Sean Bradley.
Sean Bradley. That's my guy. I love him in coverage and stuff. He was a great cover guy. But it's gonna be interesting to see. It's gonna be some quality competition there, I think. And we should hopefully we can pick the best. And if Jonathan Gannon comes on with the come on. Now I'm gonna mention somebody. Vic Fangio.
Oh, the one thing that I set this up for you like about a month ago on the podcast. I brought it up, and then I was like, it's funny that nobody has even reported Vic Fangio being in the building. And then Tank is over here. We were at dinner, and he's like, talk about Vic Fangio. And I was like, I almost spit up my food. He's been in the building. And tell us about your thoughts on Vic Fangio. You think it's a potential possibility?
Well, I think it's kind of like one of those things where if somebody's not getting the job done, you show him somebody who's proven and can get the job done and has the technical fortitude to do what you refuse to do, and that's deliver organized chaos upon opposing offenses. It's like I was talking to my esteemed colleague, Steph Joyner, during the new, I know everybody saw the New York Jets game, the first half. Dude, it was horrible. We let a rookie quarterback go 12 for 14 with 2 touchdowns.
That's
without even touch, without even breathing on him. We were rushing 4 people. You drop who the hell you, man? You did not give people like that. You need to earn respect. You don't get any quarterback that's halfway decent. If you just give them a chance, they were playing 7-on-7. That's all they were doing.
Right.
And then me and Seth was like, he threw up in his mouth a little bit because after watching that first half defense. But what Vic Fangio has the willingness to do is send pressure. It doesn't always have to be man blitzes. There's some zone blitzes in which you can run as well to trick the offensive line and think that you're bringing more than you are. But also is to get them out. Free the big dogs up front up. Free them up sometimes. They don't need to be running into them big old dudes every play. It's like I was pissed off at the playoff game, not because of what we lost. I was pissed off that Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich said he knew exactly what our defense was going to be doing. They're doing the same thing they did to us last time. Nothing.
Yeah, that's one thing. I saw Tom Brady. After Tom Brady came in, that was the one thing that I noticed. I'm like, every single quarterback after him took he gave you all the notes to test, and everyone continuously tested that area of the field. And so I really do feel like, you know, given that opportunity for the defense to give some, you know, obviously they gave multiple different looks last year, but like just the threat of the blitz and maybe you know firing guys at different angles and what have you. I think that's what this defense needs.
Yeah, well, you look at the personnel as well, and then you look at the young guys that we drafted last year who could also play, can run that 3-4, and the guys who can play 3-4 in the regular end, and then you got Hassan Reddick who can stand up as well. Mm-hmm. It makes for a lot of multiple fronts of just keeping the offense off guard. You're supposed to dictate to the offense on what to do. It is called defense, but we're here to kick your ass. We want you to defend me kicking your ass. All that sit back and wait. Oh, you scared? Man, please, if you scared, call the police. The local authorities are open 24/7. It's like, you can't be scared playing this game. But so Vic Fangio was in the building. So, I got introduced to him.
So speaking of scared, I kind of want to ask you. I mean, should Gannon be scared with Vic
Fangio?
Damn
right. You want to know? I didn't tell you this, but he was introduced to me as Coach Fangio.
He was introduced as Coach Fangio
to me. Yeah.
Interesting.
When this was back when I was allowed to come to a mini camp. And I was actually over there with the film guy because it was hot outside. And you remember the truck that lift that had that watched the film? Mm-hmm. It's got that thing up there, the cover over it and the fan. I was in there, and Howie came up and introduced me to Coach Fangio and was introducing some of the players to, hey, did you guys meet Coach Fangio? I was like, Hey now. Welcome, Vic. I was like, the writing's on the wall. If you get called in the principal, you got like Jonathan Gannon got called in the principal's office this past season, and was reprimanded for not having any creativity with the defense. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody starts talking about the personnel, but you cover a personnel by getting the ball out of the man's hands quicker. Exactly. It's like you don't stand back there and let them rip you apart. It's like and he got reprimanded for not having any creativity and always being where they expect you to be. You just made our defense look like a glorified practice team, and they had us ranked number 10. So with Vic Fangio, I think that he could get us ranked to number 5 or better.
So do you think they're he's in there as a consultant at this moment, and they're
he's in there as a consultant right now.
Yeah,
but if Jonathan falters, he will be taken down a peg.
So you said if he falters, it'll be Vic Fangio like this.
Surprise, motherfucker!
Damn, Skippy. Because it's like you don't introduce him as Coach Fangio, especially to all the players as well. And I was just there on a regular capacity as an alumni. I was like, oh, when he said he's like, Hollis, have you met Coach Fangio? I was like, I know who Vic Fangio is. He's a hell of a defense coordinator. He brings the thunder and the lightning.
That night you told me that I couldn't sleep for like a couple of days. I was just like, bro, what's he in the building for? I call Evan. I'm like, oh, what is he in the building for? So I mean, it's just interesting that now that we have pictures of him on the sideline and such. So it should be.
I mean, at the very least, even if he doesn't end up coming in here and replacing Gannon, if he lights a fire under Gannon's ass, gives him the right tools and the right knowledge to be able to perform, I'm happy either way.
No,
the thing that that Seth said was he said the same thing I said. Jonathan Gannon didn't show me anything last year.
Yeah,
I'm wondering is he going to get it this year? Maybe we'll give him that 1 year. He did come out ranked number 10, but you didn't show us anything.
Right.
He's right. Everybody is making up excuses talking about the personnel. Well, you're supposed to make that personnel do better. Yeah. I say you put it to me, a defense is supposed to be able to keep our offense on the field. At least sometimes we shouldn't give up at least one or two 10 to 12 play games, plays a game. Mm-hmm. It's like sometimes you just get the offense, they come out there, they punish the opposing team's defense. Then we come out, you thinking we're going to come out, we're going to get a 1-2-3 and out, or possibly a turnover. And all of a sudden, they marching downfield on us like they're in a damn parade.
Yep.
And we're the first stop. And I'm like, come on, man, we need a stop. And then I know I'm not the only one that's sitting there. Okay, third and long.
Yep.
Third and long. He lines up everybody 10 yards back and rushes 3. What the hell is that going to do?
You know. You're just giving him an open gate to the first time.
you just lined up a kickoff return.
Now AJ says Gannon isn't the guy. I don't feel like he's a fit and understands the guys completely. I think
AJ's correct, because to me he kind of lost me when he was doing an interview. I say to myself, Jonathan, you got to do better. I was like, don't he know we here? You realize you're in an interview and you're talking to yourself. But she's correct. I don't feel like he relates to everybody. I think some of the guys like him. I think they like their position coaches better. So one of the questions here, Prime, who was that? No, that's not Prime.
Yeah, that's Prime.
That's Prime. Okay. He said, I don't know if he makes it past this season, Prime. It's it'll be interesting to see. I think like Seth said, if he shows us the same crap that he showed us last season, early in the beginning of the season, and we don't shut nobody out and we don't put our foot in nobody's rump, he will be gone.
Yeah, and honestly, based off what you're saying, and just based off experience, like Vic Fangio obviously has a much more experience in this league than Gannon. He's a much more proven commodity. So, like, the way I'm looking at it, especially if he's already sitting in here as a consultant, why are we screwing around? You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's just pull the trigger.
Well, you want to give him a – they're trying to give him an opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know why, though. I ain't got years to. If I'm a player, I ain't got years to waste on this clown. Put it this way. You remember when? When have you ever heard my boy, Fletcher Cox say, "I'm paid to make sacks"? When have you ever heard him say anything of that? Dude, they were tired of that lining up in that crowd.
Yeah.
They know everybody knows exactly where you're gonna be.
Yeah.
It's like playing. It's like you remember that game. It's like playing that game.
So, do you think Cox's performance last year had a lot to do with the scheme and the coaching? Yeah. And do you think he was just had it up to here?
I think it was a lot to do with the scheme, because if you look at what we did, do stunts and stuff, we were killing people when we was doing stunts. I was like, you move around. Let me move around. Some don't let me be what they know I am.
Right.
So it's like you're making it too easy. You're making it too easy for opposing offenses. It's like sometimes it's cool to line up stripe to stripe and a man with a man, but sometimes you want to give me some extra bullets and a grenade, and to fight with. Don't just have me out there fighting with a musket.
I mean, I feel like
trying to reload my gun. Like
I feel like both Sirianni and Gannon are kind of, I don't want to say in a hot seat, but like they have all the tools to make it happen this year. That we,
but Sirianni, I don't think Sirianni's in the hot seat. I feel like he made some quality decisions, and he made the right one in bringing him in there and chewing his ass out and put it this way. If you don't do nothing, and I think that they probably asked Sirianni, do you mind if we bring Vic Fangio in there? He probably said, no, go right ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Donnie from upstate asks, Tank, would you rather have Schwartz back or keep Gannon if Vic doesn't take the spot next year?
Oh God!
Schwartz ain't coming back, man.
Oh God! That was a good one, Danny. Oh God! I love Schwartz as a person, but his defensive calls—they the same level. It's almost, let's have some Billy Davis eyes then, if you want to be.
Now, Drew Johnson. Mm-hmm. What about Cuzzo, Kyron Johnson? Drew, that's your cousin. How's he look?
He's looking actually pretty good. That's the linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm. He's a little spicy off the edge. He got some twitch, man. He was getting it in down at the Senior Bowl. I think he's a guy that you can develop. You got a guy like Hassan Redick in front of you. You can let him develop and get some special teams in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I want to play though, damn it. I don't want to just be on the damn special team.
Situational. We can get them there. Situational. Well, I mean,
I'm gonna put it this way. when you come in, you aspire to be able to play, so they don't care what the situation is. You aspire to gain reps, so you learn the playbook. Get your ass in your playbook at night. Get off the phone with your girl. And get in that playbook, because especially at the linebacker position, It's gonna be rough. You got to learn different coverages and stuff, and everything's gonna be going.
Now, Blue Meanie, aka Brian, having teamed with T.O., does Tank see similarities between T.O. and A.J. Brown?
I think A.J. Brown could catch a little bit better than T.O., and he's a lot bigger than T.O. T.O. was sleek and like superhero esque. Much called is like he's kind of like one of those giant pit bulls that you.
Yeah, when you walk in there,
when you walk in somebody's backyard by mistake, like, hey, I'm about to go.
I think A.J. Brown got some Debo in him, man. Like Debo from Friday. What bike? He's going to take your bike and your lunch, and he doesn't care what your father says about it. I think.
On the topic of coordinators, Timothy right. Perkins wants to know, how do you feel about Shane Steichen with regard to Jalen's development?
That's going to be interesting because he'll be called to plays this year, and I like what he did out there with he was in San Diego. I mean, well, he was with the Chargers, right? With him, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what he helped him do out there. I want to see if he could do the same thing here with Jalen. Because I know he was out there as part of the development of Justin Herbert,
right.
I think it's key that they have a guy, because sometimes the head coach gets into the play calling and stuff, and he's not able. The head coach is supposed to manage the game and make key decisions, and you kind of want him paying attention to the damn game. So when something comes up that's head coach esque, you don't have to go search for him. Because he over there with the quarterback, you want somebody that can do it. I think given the magnitude of what he's went through, I think he should be able to do it. Hmm. The part about his development, I think it's going to be key. Because it's going to be a guy who knows the passes that he likes and the ones that he can throw.
Now Chuck asks, would Brian Flores be a good fit for DC? I think Vic.
Damn Skippy. That's a man, dude. What have you seen, dude? He don't be playing.
Oh, Flores.
He don't be playing defensively.
And you got a youthful Brian
yeah. Flores. A youthful Brian Flores, yeah. It's we're given the magnitude of what Stephen Ross said. No,
you could speak on it. I mean, Miami Dolphins lost a 2023 mm-hmm. first round pick and a 2024 at this moment.
Right. Third round pick, yeah.
Third round pick?
Yep.
Yeah. But they still got one. The funny thing is when he Stephen Ross was acting all cavalier now and arrogant about the situation, say this should shut up the rumblings about throwing games. No, it doesn't. No, you just brought him back up. You gloated and you just got busted.
Yeah, I feel like the Dolphin fans, they can't get like their days of the Duper and
Super
like
Duper, Clayton,
days and
Dan Marino.
And Marino, shout out to we were at the Senior Bowl and we saw Dan Marino to our right. I was like, what the hell are you doing here? And then Mally was like, yo, this is Dan Marino. We got to go up to Dan Marino. I was like, bro, we're at the Senior Bowl. Wait till after. it was funny to see him, but I just feel bad for Dolphin fans at this moment.
Well, yeah, you feel bad for him just because you got rid of a guy because he didn't want to go with what you're going with. And then you go get a guy and claiming, I don't know about you, but claiming that he was an African-American hire or a minority hire, I don't know what the hell they were looking at. I mean, the dude didn't even, when they told him, he was like, huh?
Yeah.
I was like, that was a stupid, I don't know why they report that stupid crap.
Well, I thought that could have been the perfect Chappelle episode for the racial draft.
Yes, it was.
The black caucus, I was like, come on, man.
We select Brian Flores. But now, it was, and listening to all that extra crap that he was spewing, it was like you go out and you put all this stuff out into the universe, and now the NFL can see this, and you're probably going to get fined some more, because they're going to delve deeper into your back pockets. I don't know what's wrong with people sometimes.
Todd from the Dirty South asks, Hollis, what do you see in Jalen's leadership qualities compared to McNabb's?
They're setting up, Hollis.
Well, it's like when you look at it, a lot of people will say that I played for Andy, blah, blah, blah. But Jim Johnson was my coach. They kept offense, defense separate. So Don was an okay leader. I think he got a grip on it in his win in his latter years. But I don't think he had the lead early on because he had like a bunch of guys that was already in the league and stuff and it was helping lead the team. I see Jalen as a bit of a different leader. I think he's more of a I don't want to say better leader. And I think he's getting it more. And I think from probably watching what happened in a previous quarterbacks, and not trying not to make those same mistakes, but just being himself. I think he's got one up on Don just a little bit. But Don was a great player. Don was a great player. He's a great friend. He done some dumb stuff. He done some dumb corny stuff. I'm sorry. I got to call it like I see it. It's my boy, but.
Speaking of former Eagles quarterbacks, we have one in the division now down in Washington. What's your thoughts on Mr. Wentz? Is he going to revive his career down in Washington, or is this the last stop?
Third team in 3 years.
Yep.
His decision making ability is still yet to change. I don't see it changing there. Only way I see him having any success, and they're probably going to run the ball a lot more. But when a team lines up 8 in the box and they take that away from you, what are you going to do? And everybody starts talking about his weapons in Indianapolis.
It's scary, like,
dude, really? You had T.Y. Hilton and what's the other kid? Michael Pittman Jr. catching out the air. I'm talking about snatching out the air. He had the baddest running back.
And best in the league. Yeah, that's what I thought was funny, is people saying that he didn't have weapons in Indianapolis. You just listed it out. I mean,
he had put it this way. This is how I knew that he was getting out of Indianapolis. They were playing a particular game. And I think Frank Reichnam had got a little pass happy. Offensive center say, "Hey, can we run the ball?" he's like, "Which run you want? Which run? Any run.
Any direction. Anyway,
just don't throw it." I was like, wow.
Speaking of Wentz in Washington, I think it's a perfect opportunity to talk about we're having a little field trip down there in shout out to everyone that's going to be down there. It's going to be a great trip with Philly Sports Trips. Make sure you get that ticket to get on a bus. We just opened up opportunities to get a ticket for tailgate and game. So we're going to have a great experience down there. There's some I've heard there's going to be some cigar smoking.
It's a VIP bus as well. Throw that out there.
Some VIP action with your man Dam Skippy over here.
We're going to have a good time and ride down there.
I know Evan got some Yeah, Evan got some stuff for medicinal purposes last year. I think it should be a good time. I'm like, if you guys really want to come out and tailgate, have a good time on the road, take the party. It's really it is kind of like the Jalen versus Carson Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully the stadium stays together this time.
It did start coming apart. I was like, wow. they just came tumbling down and then tried to say, trying to say it was an isolated incident. They say Wentz threw 3 picks yesterday.
Daniel asked from Daniel's from Sweden. By the way, he says who's riding the back seat alongside Tank and Prime?
I'd be a squished back seat.
I'm riding on the bus.
Now the first show says just watch out for the busted poop pipes at FedEx.
Oh yeah.
He's got to tear that thing down and start from scratch, man.
It's not even in DC.
Yeah, I know.
My boy Dave over at the Wooden Indian. We were just talking, and he was like, "Man, this stadium's old. What was it, 1969?" I was like, "No, that was RFK Stadium." I got the opportunity to play at RFK Stadium my rookie year, and it was awesome. We won. That was the awesome part. The other awesome part is, as a kid, when I used to watch on TV. And the Redskins were winning at the time. You could see the stadium, like when they were winning, and the fans be jumping. And this was the floor, the turf was jumping. I saw that when we played. I was like, "Oh man, sweet!" And then we won. We won 17-14. I stopped Brian Mitchell on the 30 long.
Nice.
Now Tim Perkins is giving a shout out to your IG post. He believes they're classics. By the way,
thank you. I appreciate you.
Now AJ, also voice of an angel, but also known as Luster of Dallas Goedert. She says, thoughts on Dallas Goedert. That's her homie.
I love the way Dallas plays. He's, I think he's going to come into his own. I'm looking for him to have a pretty good breakout season. This is one of the parts we hadn't touched on as well, because given the receiver core we got, it's gonna open it up for my boy right there across the middle, the Torch Fools. Mm. And it's dude, if we should be putting our foot in our people's ass sideways to the next life.
Yeah, and we've been honestly, we've been spoiled the past half decade or so with having two very solid tight ends, that being Ertz and Goddard. Who do you think fills that tight end two role?
Ooh. I don't know. I'm looking at the kid Jackson, the 6'7".
Tyree Jackson? Yeah.
Jackson.
Yeah, I was looking at him. He's a physical specimen, and he can go up and get it. So, I mean, and he's a former quarterback.
I think he knows where the soft spots of the zones are. I think he's got that size, man. I think he's just been dealing with those injuries. Hopefully.
No. Those were injuries.
Well, the back one. Yeah, I thought the back one was – I thought that was a ninja injury.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they are. When I say that, it's just to keep him on the roster.
Come on, man.
That's one of the things that they do. I've seen it happen a bunch of times.
Now, Chuck says, thoughts on Jaquiski Tartt? He reminds me of the former New York Giant, Kenny Phillips.
Hmm. Oh, well, he's actually Tartt. I think he's – did he come from Northern Illinois? Nah, that's He came from San Fran last. One of the kids, but I like him as a safety. He's a good safety.
Shout out to your alma mater.
Yeah, shout out to my alma mater. A bunch of my boys watching anyway. I said brothers at Northern Illinois, quit with that damn the text for everybody, the text notes. Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel about that. The text with the text where they got everybody on it, and your phone start ringing a thousand times.
The
group text.
They're blowing you up
in the chat right now.
No, they weren't blowing me up now. Earlier today, they put a group text because we check on each other because we're getting a little long in the tube. So everybody start checking on each other. So then everybody start answering. I'm here. I'm accounted for. I'm here. I'm accounted for. Much love. I love you guys. I'm like, hey, man, cut all that out.
The important thing is you guys are all doing well. So that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, that's an important thing. But I love when we went and got that particular safety. I felt like it was one of those positions that since Dog has been gone, actually, since Malcolm Jenkins has been gone, we've done nothing back to McLeod. I love Rodney McLeod, but he was often hurt, and then I don't feel like he came back that great from the injury.
Yeah.
But then it's like pretty much been a bunch of substitutes back there. I like Epps too, but
I like Epps as well. Epps can pack a punch. I really like what I see out of him. Donnie has a good question here. Says contract year for Miles Sanders. He needs to show me something. Zero touchdowns last year. Do you think that Miles Sanders is proving everybody wrong this year, or do you think Kenny Gainwell could potentially overtake him?
Well, this is what Miles Sanders needs to do. The Miles Sanders we need to see is the one who got mad and started running and hitting the holes.
Yep.
That's the Miles Sanders we need to see, because if we don't see that, if we see the Miles Sanders we saw in Carolina that kept running out of bounds at the end of games, nobody wants. As a defender, I love to see a guy run east and west. If he comes out with that crap, then I don't think he's going to show up. But if he comes out and he does proper like he did at the end of the season, then I think he'll have a tremendous season. And it'll be, especially if it's contract year. But it's like, and then it's just right, Chuck. His best ability is his availability. He's often heard it's like that Maserati that you got in the garage, but the air keep coming out the tire. But it's all, one of the speakers in the back is busted.
And it's
about those soft tissue injuries. He's a guy who can break. He can break the home run, but I feel like sometimes you got a nickel and dime, man. Like sometimes you got a nickel and dime when it's there. And I think offensive linemen would be the first to tell you in those film rooms that, bro, the hole was here. Like I know you're trying to hit the home run, but the hole was there. So I feel like he's a little agitated. No, the media was saying that he was running with the twos. He got a little hurting his feelings.
He needed to be hurting his feelings. He put himself there. We didn't pass up holes to try to hit the home run. If you nickel and dime, just like you said, sooner or later those nickels and dimes turn into 12s and 15s. Then those 12 and 15s turn into home runs. But until you get there, you running sideways to the next life is letting the defense gang up and hit you. And then your happy ass in one of the games where you hit a hole and you ran up in there, you slammed the ball like you was mad, like you beat the ball. We had gave you the ball 10 other times and you ran sideways.
Right. I mean,
when the coach, when both coaches, I don't know if you saw when Deuce was here coaching them, Deuce came, you see Deuce tell them to do this.
Yeah, straight, straight.
And then that's what happened at the Carolina game. When they put Kenneth Gainwell in, he came in and did what he was supposed to.
Right, right. Pete brought up a point here that honestly I don't know why I haven't considered at this point, but he says that put Miles Sanders on punt and kick return. Why not? I mean, we're running back by committee type of – why? Why?
You know, because he tender. He might get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if he's already get rocked up. And I think if you're
I'm just your most
explosive weapon as a running back, that's you really – you got a Huntley for that. You got – I mean, you got even, I'm saying Rager for that. Those kind of like guys that are like,
I highly doubt if Rager's going to be here. You can't justify keeping his ass on the roster again. I don't care how many damn passes he catches in the game. I can't, you know.
Well, you know, people are talking about Devin Allen. Obviously, he got that. I feel bad for him that he got disqualified. Like, he was about to win that event.
Oh, yeah.
And now I actually took, I was going to upload it, but it was too sad. It was too sad of a video for me to upload. Like, I was at practice, like, no one's there, and Devin Allen is running sprints. And, like, I'm like, I was like, man, you could have won this whole, you know, track and hurdles
he's
or whatever.
He's a bird now, though. He's a bird.
I respect that, but I just felt like he was feeling as he was running. There was not a chance that it didn't make this roster.
I think if he's able to catch, he may be the punt return or kick return that may ignite something. If they put him back there, because you can't coach me, and all you gotta do is get a kid a seam and straightforward bow. But
do you think the Quez is secretly hoping Devin Allen doesn't make the team because he just said yesterday that he's the fastest guy in the NFL? Devin Allen makes the team. I'm not so sure if that's a true statement anymore.
Have they raced?
I don't know. I don't know if they've raced. Yeah.
You can't. Well, Devin Allen's never raced. Quiz is only 170. So it's not like he doesn't have the track physique.
Yeah.
Prime said Booby's going live right now on IG. He said, keep his MFing name out your mouth. Not our mouth, but general.
In general? Man, fuck him. The fuck out of here. Run the ball downhill. Fuck out of here, man. Come on. You're a player now. You don't go live. Don't do that ever. Because I'm just telling you, I'm giving you pearls. Not I'm just watching the game and I'm telling you what I see. I'm not gonna sugarcoat shit for you.
No, I think there is something to playing in the NFL for 14 years. I think Hollis has every right in his mind to tell you how to be a pro, because you don't make it this long in the league being a you got to know the game. You got to play the game. You know what I'm saying?
And the weird thing is he should be soaking everything up that everybody's saying, because we're not the only one that's saying it. Your coach is telling you the same shit. It's like, it's like, dude, it's like you're coming at some people who just want you to do better. We want you to be on the team. You got home run ability, but you're not going to hit a home run every time. This is the NFL. And that stands for not for long, but you doing stupid shit like that.
Yep.
It's like you, man. I can't tell a kid enough. It's like you. I'm not telling you how to do your job, but they tell you how to do your job. And when I see a coach do this, both your running back coaches tell you to do this. That means he's up in the hole. There's a hole.
This is if you look to the sideline and your running back coach is doing this, mm-hmm. it's really a really bad sign. Like, you're gonna get it in the film room.
Yeah. And not only that, you got sat down for a rookie, and a rookie came in and did exactly what was told to him. You're not bigger than a team. It's like all the accolades that you're trying to achieve, you can achieve those accolades if you follow protocol or if you follow instructions. If you don't, then you'll be sitting your ass on the bench. I don't know why cats don't. And then telling somebody to keep your name out of my mouth. I was like, well, don't worry. It won't be in there pretty soon because you won't get the ball. Keep doing what you're doing. That's all I got. Keep doing what you're doing.
I gotta listen to a general, man. If the general speaks, it is what it is, man. You got to let them know, man. I think the interesting thing with Philadelphia and the fan fan bases. They have an opinion on everything. And I feel like as a player, you know, I mean, recently Rager had made his statement, but I feel like you just can't, you got to be a pro in these situations.
It's like people put it this way. We're in a business where everybody's going to give their opinion. As long as opinions don't get personal, it's like, it's not personal about saying, we talk about the game. We're not talking about you personally. It's like, it's not one of those games. If you walk up on me and I see some ill will, I'm going to kick you in the nuts. I'm not going to let you Will Smith me. But the thing that I think a lot of guys, they get too soft, like Duncan Hines. You get critiqued for your work. It's like, this is a business, and you ain't too far gone to see that yet. It's like, but people, if you don't produce in this business, you will be at home. For sure. And you'll be trying to critique somebody else. It's like, oh man, I should have did that. I should have did that. Yes, you should have.
So Eric brings up, he says, I still faintly remember when Hollis sent Mike Vick into outer space. I heard that they were hiring Elon Musk to get him out of orbit.
man, thanks. I just saw that clip like the other day. And I actually ended up seeing Vick when I first came back up here. We did an appearance down in Atlantic City together, and he was still the quarterback. And he's like he remembered me because he remembered me from that hit, but he remembered me more when he was playing with the Saints. And it was brutal. I had to try to find him. It was like, because there was one play where that's when he didn't really have any receivers. Mm-hmm. I think the receiver was Michael Jenkins. And we ran this zone blitz, and I came around on the zone blitz, and I just hit him and knocked the crap out of him. And then he threw the ball. Ball landed right in the basket of Michael Jenkins, and it went straight through. And I looked at him. I was like, man, y'all got to get some receivers. But that's when when I saw him in Atlantic City, that's when he's like, I remember you telling me that. I was like, hey, I tried to tell you.
Reminds me of Nelson Aguilar versus Atlanta a few years ago, honestly.
Oh, wow, yeah. Ah, man, that was brutal. I was down at the game as well.
So were we.
Oh, man, it was. He missed that pass. It was like, I missed one pass. I was like, it was a pretty important
one. It was the most important one.
It's like, you had to remind me. It's kind of like when they say, hey, he's a great receiver. He could block. It's like, what? You can block well.
So while we're on the topic of running backs, or since we just moved on from it, have you seen anything out of Kennedy Brooks? I mean, he's one of these guys that I feel like is kind of going underneath the radar.
Under the radar?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, sometimes you don't get to see a lot of the second and third team because when they start practicing stuff, it's kind of they be moving stuff all around. I'm not going to chase everybody. I normally stay by the big dogs. Yeah. I like to see the work that they're putting in because if they put in work, huh?
I said, I'm going to do running.
You're going to do run?
Skill positions, I go run to the other side. You see, you go to the big dogs.
Yeah, that's why I always go over there to whatever. I call it the lab because they over there get things together, create potions and stuff so they can pour it all over the line. But I haven't heard like that much about him. I remember him from college, but he'll get his opportunity. When these preseason games come alive, we'll see who's got to come on with the come on. Now we just talking about practice.
Jordan Howard is actually waiting by the bat phone. He's like, if you need that power run back, let me know. I love it, man. One cut.
And look, dude, exactly. That was the thing too. He had to do something to somebody because there's no way that he was producing the way he was producing, and couldn't come back.
I feel the same way about Travis Fulgham. They both just fell off into the abyss. Jordan Howard had more of a career in the NFL, obviously. But yeah. I agree with you. I mean, Jordan Howard did well last year, and the fact that he's just out there not signed is crazy.
Well, yeah, yeah. Travis Fulgham is Kansas City somewhere?
Mm. Is he signed? I wasn't even sure if
signed. Yeah, is he in Kansas City? I thought he was in Kansas City. I do remember somebody him saying something. Some words or something, or is he not signed? What you got?
I don't see him signed right now.
Okay,
yeah. He was with Denver last year, and I think that's
okay.
It.
And they, yeah, okay.
I started to call him Travis Forgotten at that one point in the season. they just started not calling his name. I think it is what it is.
Donnie says he is in Kansas
City. Yeah, I thought so. He is in Kansas City. Yeah. I thought so because he was talking trash again. That's the only reason I remember. Yeah. They were talking about the cheetah.
Tyreek
Hill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill.
Wide receivers have a way about just talking crap no matter whether
no matter what, back it up or not.
You make fun of wide receivers, bro.
Hey, I mean, you ready to start talking crap? We can have a race if you want. I mean,
hey, well, you're not a diva, are you?
I'm one of them intelligent wide receivers, okay, you know.
Who's an intelligent wide receiver? I guess you're the most intelligent one.
Now, talk about intelligence. I just want to give a second to shout out Trent Cole at his at his defensive camp. You know, they had Trent Cole out. I mean, they had Hollis out there, you know, teaching the kids out there, passed on the knowledge to the youth. How was your experience at the Trent Cole defensive camp?
That was great. It was like one of the first camps where we dealt with mostly older kids. And dealing with the older kids, it was like we were teaching them the integral parts of playing defensive line. We also had Quentin Michael out there. He was doing the secondary stuff. And then we had also had Dan Klecko. Yep. We actually had a great time because we were teaching them their first step. As I was recording a lot of the kids' first step because they were high schoolers, showing them that they had a hitch in their giddy up. They kept on dropping their back foot. And then just basically hand placement and stuff. It's the one part where if you can get it down when you're young, then you're more than halfway there. And so now you got to do is just learn the system, and because you already got your stance, in that first step. If you don't have that stance in the first step, you're not going to go that far. And you have to practice it time in and time out. Because then you had to show the kids their stance as well. I was like, I haven't played it ever. And I still have the same footwork with my stance, but it's because when you play so long and you do it, it becomes second nature. So I was trying to get them to realize that you got to get this down. So nobody should have to fix your stance. It should be the most comfortable thing that you do, and you should be able to come off the rock in it. So it was a great experience. There was a lot of kids that you know they thanked us. A lot of them thanked us because their game got a little bit better. Because they was, I think they were doing something else during the day, some other camp, football camp, with their actual teams.
I got a chance after the camp to talk to Trent Cole, and this is the thing I like about that camp. You show like the brotherhood. You show the Brandon Graham talking about his mentoring that he got from Trent Cole, and then Trent Cole talked about what you meant to him as a player and a brother, like looking out for. Him as a rookie, he said, like when him and the guys, you know, being not broke rookies, but like rookies coming into Philadelphia, not having a not knowing how to be a pro. He said Hollis came in, took care of us. He's like, when we always went out, Hollis took care of us. And we heard some stories about Deshaun, so it's kind of a difference in that sense. But what was that like mentoring Trent Cole?
Actually, I didn't know I was mentoring. I just when you have a team and you're building a team, it's what you do. It's what you know. Your time is gonna come. Your time is gonna come to an end eventually. There, and the thing to do as a young man is to teach the kids the ropes. You don't want them to go out there and do anything stupid, because there was people, but there was older guys there when I got there, so they showed me how to go out and have fun, but not go out and get in trouble.
I think that's pretty interesting what you just brought up. Like, can you tell me about the transition from when you are the guy that is receiving the knowledge from the older player to when you transition to where you're the one that's actually given the knowledge? Like, when is there a moment you know, like, all right, you know what? I actually know what's going on here. I feel like I can I can shed some light. Or do you think that, like, I don't know. You understand what I mean?
I don't understand what you mean. It kind of just happens. It's like one day you look around, it's like, damn, I've been there for like 7-8 years.
Yeah,
eight, 9 years, and then all of a sudden it's 8-9, and then people are looking up to you, not because you're a hoopla guy, but because I have a good time when I'm practicing and playing and stuff, and keep it loose.
Right.
As I
right.
Put it this way, when you'll see some guys that play with me, in New Orleans, they'll always walk up to you and be like, "Oh God," in New Orleans. It was over 100 degrees every day that we practiced training camp. And they had the nerve to line us up to run sprints. That was the first time in my career that they had to run sprints after after practice, and I was like, oh my god,
like hog water.
Oh wait a minute, who's this?
One of the show's favorite Alice Thomas quote: when that boy has his mouthpiece in, it sounds like he has a speech impediment.
It was Darwin Walker tried to do the breakdown before the game, and you couldn't understand a damn word he said. And I was like, I looked at Trey. I said, "Did you get any of that?" He's like, "No." I was like, "Nah, I think he's got a speech impediment."
Now Charles is asking some hard hitting questions. Like, do you play fantasy football?
I played a couple times before, and then I picked some people's teams before. I think I've only won once, and it was a person who was at work, but she had paid her money already, and so I was calling out the picks for everybody and writing them down. And then I just picked her team, and she ended up winning.
Nice.
Yeah, here.
Oh, yeah, record prediction.
Yeah, record prediction.
I just went 9-10. I said 11-6. That's just two more victories from last year, and plus a nice playoff run. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should get our first playoff victory with these guys, and then see what happens. If we are able to take that and move to the next level, make a little noise. I feel like we have a leader in Jalen Hurts as far as that he does. What the one thing, remember you asked me about, I'm sorry, I was just going
to. No, you're good.
Something popped in my head. It was like, you asked me about the difference between Donovan and Jalen. I think right now Jalen is doing what it takes to win, whether it be run the ball or pass the ball. Well, whereas Donovan was doing that early in his career, but later on, I think he started listening to everybody and trying to become a pure passer instead of doing what it takes to win. And that was one thing that I got kind of pissed off. I got pissed off about later on because I felt like, given like what he did and what he could do and what I had seen him do, it was like I felt like he was playing under the radar, just trying to play to what everybody was saying. But okay. I don't think Jalen's going to play like that. I think he's going to take what they give him, and I think he's going to try to flourish. It's like, because everybody's going to continue to talk about accuracy, this and that. I was like, as long as he keeps progressing and keeps winning, that's the type of leader I need.
Hey man, you heard it here first from Hollis, mm-hmm. but also before we get out of here, you know, take an opportunity to talk about Philly sports trips. I know you're going to be like, talk about being a rock star, traveling every away game. This has been your nature. What is that like, traveling every week?
It's actually pretty fun sometimes. For the most part, it's pretty fun. The first trip is Detroit. I'm actually, some of my brethren, my Northern Lord brethren, is going to meet me up there. But I'll be in Detroit, I'll be in Washington and Arizona and Chicago and Houston. So especially in Houston, I'm going to have a special surprise for my tailgaters. I used to live in Houston, and my buddy, he's going to be down there with a special treat for all of us. He's going to have his smoker. He have a smoker on the back of a tailgate thing. It's going to be a ball of ass spread to fine cuts of meat.
So you're going to make Hell me take yeah. a day off on a Thursday to go all the way to Houston for this meat.
No, damn skipping. No.
Okay.
It's my boy. They call him All Day Dre.
Now, out of this schedule, I mean, you're excited about a lot of these road trips. Which one are you, I mean, besides Houston, I mean, which is your most exciting trip this year?
Right now, the exciting trip is D.C. and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. And Chicago is late in the year, but, you know, I played in Northern Illinois, so a lot of my boys will be there. It's going down. All we need is a stage. But that that Washington trip and that Arizona trip, dog.
Okay.
Especially Washington going down to do the takeover with the buses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think Washington should be kind of crazy. I know they're up to how many people so far we're almost close to 500.
Over 500, 500 or something.
Yo, it is building. We're hoping to get 1,000 people down there.
Yes.
I mean, that's an easy stadium to take over. So I mean,
yeah,
come join the party.
You know, the weirdest thing is I played the last time I played, I was playing for the Rams, and I noticed it used to be a set of Chevy twins that used to sit behind the visitor. I didn't see them anymore. I was like, oh man, what happened to the guys? I didn't want to ask nobody because I didn't want to know if they had kicked the bucket or nothing. And it's like, it was the same guys. They were at every game that I played at rest at at FedEx Field.
Like, what do you call these things? Like, yeah, the commanders.
I think it's somebody called them the commies. I was like, man, that's not right. And then it was like the commanders. My buddy Dave from the Wooden Indy, he's like, the cheerleaders are going to be tired. Trying to spell commanders. Give me a C. Give me an O. Give me an M. Give me another M.
I am looking forward to going to that tailgate and game and seeing Carson Wentz get a little reddish in the area. You know, when they start bursting over here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's red all here.
I want to, you know what? Is this going to be what this will truly tell him and let him know that it was him the whole time? It's not everybody else. This is your third team.
Mm hmm.
Sometimes you got to start with the man in the mirror.
100%.
I kind of saw that when he was here with the AO1 stuff and expecting everybody else to go to his stuff, but you never heard about him going to any of his teammates' stuff. That's another thing, too. You see Jalen had and Donovan did the same thing, was at everybody else's stuff, too, as well as we came to his stuff. And then he was expecting everybody to be at that damn softball game. But name one person event that he went to other than his own.
You're exactly right. And just like building off of that as well, we have seen like Jalen Hurts, who me and Gail went down to his camp, and like he has players that show up for him. I mean, we saw Jordan Mailata down there.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets reciprocated. And I think that that's how you build chemistry in the offseason. It doesn't have to just be charity events, but, you know, looking out for each other. So you see Hurts doing that and putting that work.
Yeah, you build camaraderie, and you know you have a leader who gives a damn about you. So, one quick note, that's why Geno Smith got knocked out by that linebacker. Remember when he got knocked out?
Oh, yeah, on the Jets. Yeah, I remember.
On the Jets because he was supposed to attend one of his events. He shunned him. The young man had to pay for a ticket.
Yep.
Geno no-showed and said, hey, I'm going to give you your money back. Now, you got to remember, the guy was a sixth or seventh round pick, so he ain't got money to waste. He don't have money to waste.
Right.
So when Geno didn't give it back, and he kind of like tried to play him too close, whop!
Yep.
Pick up the pieces.
Glass shot him. Yep.
Pick up the pieces. That's not a good leader. That's showing you're not a man of your word. I can't trust you.
100%. 100%.
Yep.
I mean, I think right now, I think Eagle fans are excited with his leadership. I think they like what he brings to the table as a player right now. Fighting for that position, I feel like Eagle fans are in a good spot. I think Eagle fans on the timeline who are telling other Eagle fans to not be excited about what you see, like, bro, like, can we be excited about anything after coming out of the pandemic?
those are what you call those negative Nancy's.
Yeah,
and those Debbie Downers. I can understand the prove it to me, as like and prove it to me on a consistent basis. I was like, but either you're with us or you're against us. Remember. Santa's sleigh is not moving if everybody doesn't believe.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, this whole everybody has to catch the vibe. I was explaining to a fan the other day, just saying about like what a fan's perspective is when you bring in this energy. You talk about going with Philly sports trips on these away trips. Like, right. Fans, it's your job to bring the energy. You come to a new stadium, the Eagle fans come in there, they feel that energy. So with the players, their job is to do is play on the field, do their job. Yeah. Fans, do your job, and together we have a nice little ride.
Yeah, it's like that. We used to be playing in different places, and we hear that EAGLS in the crowd, dude. it was be so invigorating. Especially I was playing against the Saints one time, and I was lighting up Ricky Williams' life. But it was a great feeling because the stadium wasn't full, but we had a lot of Eagles fans there. You could hear them chanting that EAGLES.
That's awesome.
A little crazy, but I mean, before we get out of here, is there any last words you want to leave Eagle fans with?
I'll be back next week. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what is the Phillies play today? Are they already playing?
Philly's had a busy day, man. We just traded for Noah Syndergaard. We got a center fielder going on now. Ooh. We had ourselves a day.
Mickey, that's what I was looking for, the trade deadline.
Yeah, that was today. We ended up getting ourselves a pitcher. So
That's what we need to do. Exactly. We was giving up the rhythm. Once that starter was going out, that bullpen was giving up the rhythm.
I'm digging the new manager, though. Digging the new guy.
He's actually coaching.
I want to thank you for hopping on, House. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I appreciate you guys for having me. And thanks, Prime. When I see you, I'm gonna put you in the bear hug.
Yo, break his ribs, man. Break his rib, man. Yeah. I want to see that. Hey, also I want to see y'all come out. We're doing a tailgate practice. We're talking about practice. All podcasts talking about practice. We're doing a practice tailgate out there. Philly's game will be going on, so we're gonna catch that vibe early. Hoping to get there around 2 to 3.
Just let me
know. I'll be down there.
I secured some cheesesteaks too. So Hollis,
you like cheesesteak? You like cheesesteaks?
I like cheesesteak and cheesecake.
I would you walk to Junior's Cheesecake if Puffy told you to get some cheesecake?
I walk to it.
Yeah.
No, I get a golf cart and go with that. Where's that?
you don't remember the Making Band scene where Puffy made him go to Brooklyn to get cheesecake?
I do remember that, but I'm not walking nowhere to get I'm not trying to make the band. apparently, I'm not going to make it. If you send me to get a cheesecake and expect me to bring it back,
I'm not in the band.
Come back with cheesecake crumbs all over the place. Like they was fresh out.
And shout out to Prime, shout out to Mal, and shout out to Mally. I'm just getting ready for this season to start. We're going to gear up real soon. Keep bringing the energy, man. Eagle fans, don't let people deter you from being happy about your birds. As always, we'll see you guys in the next one. And fly, Eagles, fly.